Hall, you've reached Howard the Duck, star of Universal Pictures and Movies. I'm home just now.
Hold it. I am here. I'm screening my calls these days, trying to duck my agent. He thinks he wants to get me a gig on Wild Kingdom. What does he think I am, some kind of animal? I'll be with you in a second. In the meantime, listen to some of the excitement in store for you when you catch my movie.
You're in the middle of the road, jackass.
Can you tell me where cornbread is?
Turkeys!
Thanksgiving.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night, and I am Scott.
And I'm Joe.
Hey, Joe. And today, we're talking trash. Talking trash indeed. This is our show to review, spoil, crap on, debate, and give second chances to the lowest rated, the much debated, and the often forgotten flicks on the internet. All while asking the question, is this the worst movie ever made? And if not, what is? Because here on the show, we truly believe you can't review films unless you know what the worst is. And we're in November. We're doing Turkey Fest.
You know, I gotta say one thing about Turkey Fest.
Turkey Fest, Joe.
Turkey Fest is quackers. Pure quackers.
I was hoping for something better than that, Joe. Turkey Fest, indeed. You know what Turkey Fest is to us? Turkey Fest is... movies we know are huge turkeys. Bombs. Shitholes.
Pieces of crap.
Crap.
But steamy turds.
But the twist is, we love them.
Yeah.
We love them. And so every single November, we take the chance to pick a couple movies each and talk about them. This month, we only have 4 weeks. So we have two each. And we're starting with Joe's pick. All right, let me take you back in time before Iron Man... before She-Hulk, Deadpool, Cerberus, Ambush Bug, Gwenpool, Scott Pilgrim, or even Ferris Bueller broke the fourth wall, hell, or even were created. There was a small duck who was abducted from his home planet and dropped into the Florida Everglades by the demon Thog. In Marvel Comics' 1973 issue of Adventures into Fear, number 19, written by Steve Gerber and drawn by Val Mayerick. A few issues later, Howard fell off a interdimensional stepping stone and vanished into the unknown. That is until fans, outraged, demanded his return, and in 1976, he received his own comic series. 10 years later, some court cases, child labor laws, multiple failed movie attempts, including Rick Baker puppeteer production, and an animated movie... the almost destruction of Robin Williams' career, the accidental creation of Pixar Studios, the resignation of the chairman of the studio Motion Picture Group, the loss of over $45 million, and a cult following. Here we are today, talking about a movie that has a 4.7 on IMDb from 51,000 reviewers, a 28 on Metacritic, a budget of over $45 million. So you know, that's the budgets of both Empire Strikes Back and A New Hope together. In today's inflation, that would be $130 million today. A movie that the lead actress said, "That movie is such a famous flop. In a land of a lot of flops, it's kind of awesome to be in a really famous flop. I mean, it's kind of a poster child for flops." We are talking about the winner of 4 Razzie Awards, Howard the Duck.
That's it. No more Mr. Nice Duck.
Directed by Willard Hike, his wife Gloria Katz, and he wrote all of George Lucas's dialogue in his movies and co-wrote Temple of Doom, American Graffiti, and were uncredited for writing almost all the dialogue in A New Hope. Yes, we're talking about a movie that Joe decided to pick and make us watch today. A movie that I watched for probably the third time today, ever. This is probably my third viewing of this film. Howard the Duck.
I want you to look into the future and tell me what you see.
I see myself walking out that door.
Yeah, me too.
You chose Howard the Duck.
I just looked over at you so many times and you were so defeated. Like, you just looked so annoyed. I was like, are you mad at me?
What, during the movie?
Yes.
Yeah, this is a real turd, Joe.
Oh, man.
So let's just talk about it, because this is one of your favorite movies.
Okay. No. No. Okay.
Your favorite bad movies.
Okay. So this movie I must have seen 1,000 times as a kid.
Okay.
I mean, it was just always on. And, you know, they blurred it out because it was on TV. You know, they didn't show any, like, duck boobies or anything.
They didn't?
I said duck boobies.
Yes. We'll get into that later. Yeah.
But yeah, it was one of my favorite movies as a kid. Now, I have not seen this movie in, I would say, it's been 20 years.
That's not true.
When's the last time I watched this movie?
You bought this movie, Joe. We own this movie.
Yeah, we bought this movie 20 years ago before we even got married.
Editor's note, I have no idea how long Joe thinks we've been married.
Like, it was a long time ago. I have not popped this DVD in. I don't think I've ever put that DVD in. It's been a long time. So back then, I was feeling some kind of way because, you know, you married me knowing that I like trash movies. But I had like a special spot in my heart for Howard because I thought he was so cute. The animatronic that they used was so cute. And he had these big eyes and he was adorable. And I really liked Lea Thompson. I loved everything about her in this movie. I thought she was like really cute. She had this wild hair and she was a rock star. And the name of her band is Cherry Bomb. I mean, it was cool, you know? Now
I have so many things to say about each thing you've already said, but go ahead.
Now I am feeling some kind of way.
Yeah, you should. You really should. You should really rethink a lot of things you've said.
I'm an adult now, and I feel much differently now.
Yeah, I would think so.
This is a movie that I love, that I loved, but I know was not a great movie. And now as an adult, I'm seeing all the things that are wrong with it. And as a kid, you're not thinking, you're just like, oh my God, there's like a crazy villain and he's shooting lightning out of his hands and he's creepy and gross. And there's a little duck running around and he's funny. As a kid, you just see things differently. And now that I'm an adult, I'm watching this again and I'm just like, oh, hot damn.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
as a kid, I saw this movie and I feel the same way that I do today than I did then. Uncomfortable.
I mean, okay. This
extremely
movie,
uncomfortable.
This is not all it's quacked up to be.
Oh my God.
All
the jokes you can get. That's enough. That's it. That's all. You just wasted all your
I'll
jokes.
I'll be here all night, folks.
For the whole episode.
Be sure to tip your waitress.
Is it the waitress at the sushi Cajun bar?
Oh my God.
Diner?
Here she comes.
Wow! Your kid's costume is really radical.
Okay. Okay. I'm
Is that
deeply,
the waitress you're tipping?
I'm deeply sorry. I am.
This is of all the picks in all the world, you picked Howard the Duck.
Yeah, because, you know, I think part of me just wanted to watch it again and see if I still felt the same way, you know? Like, see if it still holds up after all this time for me. Because, I'm sorry, as a kid, I didn't think about uncomfortableness.
You didn't?
No.
You didn't think, first off, seeing Marty McFly's mother in her underwear straddling a duck and kissing a duck's beak. You didn't find it odd?
Well, at the time when I was a kid, I didn't think of like over-sexualized things like that, you know?
Yeah, but didn't you feel like...
I just thought he was
what's
cute.
What's happening here?
I mean, I was looking at him as though he was just a puppet, you know? Even though there was a man in the suit, I still feel like he was a puppet. He was like an animatronic puppet. And I was a kid, so I didn't really think of anything in the sexual terms. I mean, that's just not how you think of things when you're a little kid.
I guess.
So now, yes, I am highly uncomfortable by this movie.
All right, at least there's that.
But I am 100% right. They did not actually have physical sex like you said they did.
Okay, well, here's the thing. Even the, I guess the people who worked on the film were like, why does everybody think they had sex? Okay, let's rephrase this. They were about to have sex.
I doubt that.
I don't.
Because she literally said, Howard, I'm just kidding.
I'm just kidding. Kiss.
And they were going to go to sleep.
Kiss two, still on top of him, with her legs. And he puts his arms up like he's into it now, all of a sudden. And we see it in the shadow. Things are about to happen. She had turned off the lights. This isn't kidding. They were about to watch Letterman.
Yeah, maybe they're going to watch Letterman with the lights off. We do that every night.
She's like, you know what? Second thought. And I don't care what you say. She does declare, he is my boyfriend.
He's my boyfriend!
That's disgusting.
You're not making me proud of being a human!
No, I think she just screamed that
out. No, she's totally full on it.
No, I think she just screamed that out to get them to stop. Because they're going to sushify him.
I don't think so. I think she is dead on. They are together. There is multiple references to her dinging him.
Okay, well, let's just ask our listeners to chime in on this. When, you know, we post this episode, I want to hear what you guys have to say. We're going to do a collaboration post. And I want to know if you think that there is a sexual relationship going on here.
Or how uncomfortable are you? Is it happening? Is it in the background? Is it going to happen? Are they together? They are. They're together. She not only tells her friends about him.
Oh, jeez. You must be Casey. Meet Howard.
Wow.
Hi, Howie. We've heard so much about you.
She keeps pining for him every time something happens. She's like, oh, you're going to go home. I'm so happy for you. A face into the camera of depression.
Well, because she made it a new friend. I mean,
Sure, Joe. Come on.
Okay, first of all, her telling her friends about Howard, that doesn't mean anything. If I met a talking duck that walks around with clothing on, I would tell everyone.
They actually say, I thought I was hard up for a date.
I don't know who's more desperate for dates, you or me.
Oh my God. So you think that they're looking at him as not a duck, but as a person.
Yeah, no, he's a person. He is a duck man.
No, you know what I'm trying to say. He's not human.
Let me ask you something, Joe. Do you get in your underwear and get in a bed with a duck person you just met? Do you kiss him and joke around in that way?
I've done that once, but that was it was a long time ago. No, you don't do that.
No.
I do think.
Do you do that with somebody you're attracted to? When they fall asleep, the man you just met that is a duck person, when they fall asleep on a windowsill, do you start stroking their hair? Now, in some kind of weird, over sexual, do you grab his condom, his loose used condom out of his wallet and go, oh, Howard?
Wait, I think you're totally misinterpreting these two things. First of all,
she just met a duck man and invited him into her house.
Yes,
and stroked his hair while he was sleeping.
He's sleeping, but she's curious. She's just like wants to know about him.
She is making he's so cute face.
Oh my goodness!
This is like over. First off, let's just get this out of the way. This is the most disturbingly over sexualized kids film I have ever watched.
No.
Yes.
We've seen more disturbingly over-sexualized kids' films.
I guess, what was it? Summer Camp Nightmare was odd.
What about Garbage Pail Kids, the movie?
We haven't done that on this, but...
But we've seen it,
that's another one we got to bring back, but not for Turkey Fest. We can watch that as bad movies. Like, that's another one that, for some reason, you own it.
I can't, I don't know. Yes, I do own it, but I'm never watching that shit again.
Let's do what we do and talk the plot out. And as we do, we can maybe get to these things. Because the movie starts out, we see Howard's world. We watch this guy's entire house before we get his reveal of what he is or who he is. And the reason they did that is because the promotions for this movie that they spent so much money on, insane promotions. Beer ads?
What?
This is a kid's movie. Beer ads. cigarette cigar in some of the posters. Him smoking a cigar in some of the posters. And they didn't refuse to show his face. And they also started acting like he was a real person. Everybody who was interviewed had to talk about him like he was a real person. And people who were interviewing them just could not understand what the hell was going on. So,
I mean, is that unusual for the 1980s? Because, I mean, come on. It's like our parents were giving us whiskey when we were babies. I mean,
no, first off, I don't think that ever happened to me.
No, my parents always put whiskey on my gums. Well, that
explains why you like Howard the Duck so much.
No, my parents put whiskey on my gums because I was teething.
Yeah.
Whatever, man.
Yeah, you're a little alcoholic.
Hey.
Who likes duck boobies?
I do like duck boobies. They were nice and round.
I know that Howard, I've seen duck sex, and it is rough, and it is rapist, and it is very odd and off-putting, and I think that was about to happen.
Yeah, but you can't look away. I've seen you. I do.
It is disgusting.
No, the ducks in our backyard have sex, and they are literally killing each other.
Because they're drowning the woman. It is quite disturbing.
Yeah, anyways, is that? They stick their heads under the water while they're banging at them.
Yeah, and then afterwards they just leave them, and they throw their money at them, and they said the money's on the dress, and they go out, and then later on the duck has like 19 kids walking behind them. No wonder they want to eat some of those. Oh, it's terrible.
Oh.
Yeah.
No.
Anyways. So we see Howard's world, right? So we see this planet is shaped like a damn egg. No, but we see him come home, and his apartment is establishing that everything in this world is the same as our world, just duck related.
Mm-hmm.
And we see like posters of Indiana Jones, but it's like a duck. We finally get to see Howard, and he lights up a cigar, gets a beer, I believe, sits down and looks at a Playboy where we see our first duck boobs. And this is a kid's film.
Wait, it's not it's not a Playboy. It's like, what do they call it? A
play duck.
A play duck.
Yeah, a play duck. And he even makes a joke. Oh, look how airbrushed. My Hello, airbrushed hottie. My
airbrushed beauty.
Yeah, oh my God.
Wait, though, is this movie rated PG? Or is it PG-13?
I'm pretty sure it's PG because PG-13 hadn't happened yet.
Oh, really?
At least, I don't know. You know, it might have because of Temple of Doom, which the director and writer of this film actually co-wrote. This person, a very interesting career.
You want to know the year it came out? 86.
The rating. We're talking about the rating. You asked about PG?
Oh, yes, it's PG. PG.
Oh my God, where are you?
Sorry, I'm everywhere because I'm...
It's because of the alcohol rubbed on your gums when you're a kid.
It affected me.
Did you rub some on just now too?
Okay, that is not unusual. And secondly, no, I haven't been drinking, smart ass. But yes,
so the movie is PG. Is
PG. And there's a lot of like suggestive...
That's what I'm getting at. This is why I'm talking about this. Alcohol, cigar... And a Playboy magazine, Play Duck, and boobs. And then Howard's chair starts shaking. I don't know why his. I don't understand why him, why this section of the house, this apartment building that he lives in. Nothing makes sense, but he flies through the walls into the other apartments. And he passes a woman in a bathtub, a duck woman, with her bare breasts.
And she's singing a song, and she's completely unmoved by the fact that something just crashed through her wall. She just keeps singing. That's what I think is funny.
It's so crazy. And we have a narration that I don't think I understand. Narration?
Mm-mm.
Before all the things that happened, there was Howard the Duck?
The cosmos. Countless worlds upon worlds. Worlds without end. In these galaxies, every possible reality exists. And what is reality on any one world is mere fantasy on all others. Here, all is real and all is illusion. What is, what was, and what will be start here with the words, In the beginning there was Howard the Duck.
And don't they say something like, in the beginning.
Yeah, in the beginning. There was Howard.
I don't understand. What does that mean?
I don't know.
The chicken and the egg thing? Is that what they're going for? What the fuck is that?
How?
I don't know. He's a duck. I don't get what they're talking about.
I don't understand this movie at all. And he lands on Earth. He's dragged through space.
It's like a space-time portal.
It's not even that. He's just literally dragged through all of space.
I ask you something. You're going to die out in space. You're going to literally die. He's in some kind
of weird cosmic ray that we see and thrown into what I guess is pulled from one dimension to another. And he's just thrown into, where are we, New York?
No, Cleveland.
Oh, that's right, Cleveland.
He says it so many times.
No. I'm asking, what is this place?
Cleveland?
Uh-huh. That's a perfect weird name for this planet.
And he's thrown into the street where he is just... He lands on another couch, and he is instantly berated by a bunch of punk rockers.
Mm-hmm.
And then he is passed around like a pinball through many situations, in which he does flap his arms multiple times in some kind of reference to flying.
I think that's just like his fear mechanism, like his...
Flapping his arms?
His fight or flight, if you will.
Oh, okay.
He
doesn't... Not only does he do it here, but he also does it later on when they're in the diner.
Yeah, he does it a couple times.
He does it a lot.
But then he ends up in Beverly's club where she's playing. Now, Beverly is Leah Thompson, looking at her cutest. I think she's so cute in this.
Completely miserable. They made her do her hair every day on the set 2 hours.
Okay.
She said, I really wish we would have done a wig.
That's a lot of hair to crimp.
Yeah.
Now, in the 80s, and I know all my 80s girls had a crimper. Some still have a crimper. That shit took a long time. I mean, if you have a mop of hair like I do, I look like a cavewoman. I got a lot of hair. That took a long time to get that crimping done. I would not want to be her.
No.
But she looks cute, though.
It's huge. And she's what I would say in the good old Blues Brothers cage from the Blues Brothers.
Yeah.
Funny enough, John Landis was supposed to direct this movie at first. When this whole thing went down, this movie was in the process of getting made. This is one of those rare movies that you should never look into if you have a person that you respect in Hollywood.
Oh, no.
Because this is one of those movies that just opened the floodgates of seeing how much of an asshole everybody in the industry is to each other. In particular, reading about Stan Lee and George Lucas, and I fell down rabbit holes after rabbit holes, and it is absolutely crazy. Yeah, this movie was in such a weird process. Apparently, back when, before Star Wars, George Lucas making American Graffiti like became friends with a comic book store owner. They became good friends. He became like a silent partner or co-owner of the store with him. And because they had a huge love of comic books. And George Lucas got involved in liking this Howard the Duck character. And he was like, I would really like to bring this to the screen because he's this foul-mouthed detective. Yep.
You said foul. Yep.
Yeah, he's this detective. He does all this stuff. And he's always involved with all the creatures. He was involved with Man-Thing in his first appearances.
Really? I would think Man-Thing would eat him.
No, Man-Thing's like a good character. You've seen him in the Werewolf by Night show.
Yeah. Oh, I like that.
Yeah, he's just like a friendly guy.
Yeah, I guess he is.
Well, they like teamed up, and he also would break the fourth wall, and he was... It was unlike any other comic, and that's why it was so popular. But he was like trying to get it made, and it really kind of hinged on the success of Star Wars because he thought the Star Wars could be a bomb. And he could fail and lose all his money. And so it became a huge success. And he really wasn't planning on making any other Star Wars at the time. He said he had a rough draft. And he was thinking about it. And this whole process started just going step by step. Apparently somebody went to Marvel and asked them, can we make this? And then they said no, because someone else, they had sold the rights to certain characters to somebody in a studio. And that studio made all the TV event movies, like the Thor, the Doctor Strange, what we did on this show.
Mm-hmm.
And Howard the Duck was one of those characters that they bought, which is really strange. They knew that Howard the Duck was a popular character with comic fans. That there's actually a news report where they're interviewing a comic book store owner, and they say Howard the Duck, and he goes, "Oh, it's selling out. We can't keep it on the shelf."
Really?
That's how popular he was.
I thought he was like an obscure character that there was like a handful of like people.
No, the fans got so mad when he disappeared from the comic series. Like he just fell into this cosmos, and then they said that no one had said where he went to. And so fans got angry and were demanding, sending letters. Stan Lee has like an interview where he says that someone sent him duck bones.
Oh my God.
Demanding that they bring back Howard.
I mean,
so they did.
That's cryptic and weird.
Yeah. And one of the crazy things is learning about what happened with the creator, because famous, if you look into Marvel at all, you start learning about how the creators were all treated like crap. You know, there's so many things you can watch. This creator, though, got this popular series. He started making Howard the Duck, and then he got fired because he started as a freelance writer for Marvel. And freelance people usually don't get the credit. When his character became successful, they hired him on full time, but they made him sign a contract. In the small print, you waive the rights to your character.
What?
So he lost all the rights when he got fired.
To his own character?
He had no call over his own character.
Oh my God.
And he got fired for delays on script writing.
Do you think that was a setup? Do you think that perhaps they just wanted to steal his character from him?
I definitely think so.
I mean, that's fucked.
There is tons of information. Now, I'm not a great historian. I can't give you all the facts, but definitely look up Yesterworld Entertainment on YouTube. They are amazing. He did an entire history of this movie's production, and it is incredible. I found out so much interesting stuff. Go listen to his video. Go watch it. It's unbelievable. And even he said there are so many court documents going back and forth between the creator and Marvel. And also Marvel and Stan Lee being told that they can't make the movie. And they still sold it anyways because they knew they had him by the balls because they made him sign that contract, which waived his right to own that character.
So he didn't have a leg to stand on in court.
He really didn't. And and it just kept going into limbo. There were so many things. You can actually go look up Rick Baker's test footage of making a puppet of Howard the Duck. And it looks exactly like the comic book with the cigar in the mouth and the hat. And, you know, Disney sued them as well because they said that Howard the Duck was a ripoff of Donald Duck. So they had to add something in to change the look of Howard. They added pants.
The only thing that those two have in common is that they're both ducks.
No, if you go look into the original, even the creator said that it was kind of like a joke on all the stuff that was happening. And that was like the whole hook behind him, why fans liked him so much. He was very edgy. So this whole long process of getting this movie made, so many crazy things were happening. And one of the funniest things is that the original script was more close to the comic book of him being a jokester, more adult.
Mm-hmm.
But Ghostbusters hit it big.
Oh.
And so the president of the studio was like, "No, I want something like Ghostbusters." He gave them a huge budget. Just, I wanted to be like Ghostbusters. Puppets, creatures, special effects, and humor. I need a couple scientists in this movie.
You use that term loosely because...
yes, exactly.
Tim Robbins is not a scientist.
I need a bad guy who's like possessed.
Yep.
It's like everything from Ghostbusters, they were asking them to do it.
Wow.
It's so insane.
That is true. There are those elements.
And this is amazing too. There's so much history here. I have so many facts in my head right now to get out. Robin Williams was hired. He was on the set for a week. He was hired to do the voice of Howard.
Why?
And usually he complained, usually somebody does the voice and then you animate the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
They were doing the animations of the mouth on set and the puppeteer was talking. And there was seven people were hired to play Howard in the suits.
Mm-hmm.
And Robin Williams was on set trying to improvise.
Wow.
And they basically said no. There's interviews with him talking about this.
God, I tried the voice for them. They wanted different voices. I was, when I talked to George Lucas, who was a friend, he wanted me to try it just to give them an idea about different voices. I tried different voices. I tried real tough duck. They want a sensitive kind of 1980s yuppie duck.
And the reason I said in the opening is, could have ruined his career. If he didn't leave this movie, he would have had another bomb on his hands because he had just had Popeye, which was a huge bomb for him as well, which I actually kind of like. We could talk about that that movie one day on Turkey Fest. But that would have been a two bombs back to back for him. It could have ruined his career. When he left this movie, he got Good Morning Vietnam.
His
career.
But he made the right choice.
Why
were there so many actors playing Howard?
You're ready for this? You ready for this one?
Mm-hmm.
They hired a 12-year-old.
A child?
So when you think about Lena Thompson in the bed with Howard,
no.
It is a 12-year-old child.
There's a 12-year-old kid in there?
Yes.
No.
Lena Thompson has many quotes about how people are very upset. Didn't you think that was weird? She goes, well, in the movie I just did before that, I was coming on to my son, which would be Back to the Future.
Yeah.
She's like, that's just my brand of humor.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, it wasn't always the kid in the suit, right? Because there's so many actors.
So there was a lot. This kid, he's actually in Bruges.
Oh.
Yeah, that's him.
Okay.
He had so many problems. They had child labor problems. The person who was his guardian didn't like that he was in the bed with her.
Well,
I wouldn't like that either.
That's creepy.
Very creepy. This stuff is insane. There's another one who also has is under investigation for minor problems, just like our villain. Two people in this film.
Oh no.
Yeah, there's so much. It's actually the actor who played Chucky in Child's Play.
What?
He's also in the suit. His name is Ed Gale. Yeah, he's under investigation for solicitation of a minor, a 14-year-old.
Oh my fucking God.
Yeah, six other people and that person. And they said that the makeup, they had a giant mask with animatronics on top of his head. But apparently makeup, all that stuff hurt him. There was all these problems. And then they could only have him on the set for certain hours. So they had to keep replacing him.
Oh, my God. So they chose to use the child for the scene with Lea Thompson instead
almost
of
all
one
the
of
movie,
the adults.
It's kind of debatable because a lot of people have like information that he wasn't, but what I've heard is that he's on set the most.
Oh my God.
They had a stunt person in the suit as well.
And what about the child labor laws and stuff? Like,
yeah, they were getting angry. And this is really crazy. They had the makeup ready. They had the whole idea for the suit. And then right into production, the suit messed up. So they only had 3 weeks and they got another creator to come in to do the special effects.
Oh my God.
And that person only had 3 weeks and then they started doing it and they basically were filming it, changing the makeup, filming it, doing the makeup again. The suits were ripping.
Oh,
they said it
man.
Was like chaos. And a lot of people say that the suit and Howard himself is like nightmare fuel. You said you like it.
I thought he looked cute.
I don't think it, in retrospect, I don't think it's that bad.
I don't think the suit's bad. I mean, we've seen some trash.
I've seen some trash, and it is kind of believable.
Yeah, I think it's cute.
And to think that this is the first Marvel movie. This is the first to screen Marvel film.
Yeah, it is, I guess, right? Yep. No, what about... Oh, no, it was a TV movie.
All TV movies.
Yeah.
And that was the people who owned the rights. They had to wait for the rights to lapse, and then they finally got it.
Damn, so this is the first real Marvel movie, and then they made this?
Yeah. The suit cost $2 million, Joe.
Well, they must have had multiple suits.
Yeah. John Landis, he passed on this film because of the car scenes at the end were too similar to Blues Brothers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'll get into it more. But yeah, there's so many crazy, crazy things here. But the fact that you can see maybe the two scripts are kind of lapsing, the script trying to be Ghostbusters and a script that is trying to be edgy like the comic book, you can see that they're maybe fighting. But you can also see that Back to the Future must have had some effect on this movie as well. the band, the musician, him with the guitar. He, you know, he feels Marty-like.
He feels Marty-like?
He does.
What does that mean?
Like, he just feels like Marty McFly in this. Like, I don't know how to explain it. He feels weird. Man. And seeing him with Leah Thompson and the whole thing, there is a vibe to it. So when we see him dragged and thrown into the streets of Cleveland, and him learning about Leah Thompson's band Cherry Bomb, Leah Thompson actually sang the songs. They actually were going to replace her later on. The whole plan was for her to sing on the set or sing the songs, and then she didn't think they were going to use them because she was being told that they were going to have someone famous come in and do the dubbing.
Oh.
And they never did.
Wasn't Belinda Carlisle up for that role?
Tori Amos. There's a lot of weird conversations on that too. There's a lot of lists of weird people. I wonder how that would have been. Yeah, it's so odd. But yeah, she'd sing in the songs. And she, of course, because it's bad movie night, it is talking trash. She is almost raped in an alleyway.
Yep.
But she does fight off. Although she's screaming for help, she keeps punching everybody anyways.
Yeah, she's doing a good job.
Yeah. But Howard was stuck in a barrel. Right. And after flapping his arms and hooking to a hook and falling in a garbage can, he actually jumps out of the garbage can and lands on top of it with like a lid on it now.
No, they put the lid on there. They put him in there. Yeah, but he was in there
and they jumped out.
Well, he punched the lid off because he got mad.
No, they were going to stick her in it. The lid came off and he was in it looking
up. That's right.
At
her. And then he looks up and sees that she's getting hassled. And yeah. So then he gets pissed off.
But when he jumps up. Anyways,
okay, I get it. You're right. Oh, jeez. Whole movie is a fucking goof. You can't point out a goof.
But he helps stop these guys. And so, of course, this is the meet cute.
Yeah.
Because some guy came to her aid, she's now into him.
No, I think that she feels sorry for him because she's looking, it's pouring rain and he's just like standing there like lost and lonely, has nowhere to go. And she's like, oh, you know.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, you're a duck. Oh, okay. And that's it. Like she's fully okay with it. She takes him home.
I mean, she's pretty okay with the fact that he's a duck. I mean, she's a little taken aback, but.
Yeah, she takes him home.
She gets it over it.
He has a little duck robe. He does. He gets a little robe.
Where?
I don't know. He's wearing it and he's wearing PJs.
Maybe they had a like chance to stop at the store.
Where'd they get the clothes? I don't know either. I don't understand it because when he beams there, he's wearing like a whole suit.
Yeah, he's wearing a suit because he came from work.
He came from work, which is he's working in advertising at the time. But of course, his backstory was that his parents wanted him to be a plastic surgeon and, you know, lift the duck bill, apparently, and some tucks on the feathers. And then he wanted to be a famous musician writer. And it didn't work out for him. Him and his band, which I can't remember the name.
Was it Howard and the Heartbreakers?
Yeah, Howard and the Heartbreakers. And so these two start spending time together. What happens first? Does he go to try to get a job? Does he leave her? Like they have a fight?
They have a fight and then he tries to get a job. Yeah,
did the sex scene happen first?
No.
Yes, it did.
No, that happens later on after he goes and talks to her manager and gets the money.
No.
Yes,
No. No, that's what I was wondering. Because Tim Robbins shows up, right? She brings Howard to the museum to see her friend, who is played by Tim Robbins, in the first part of this movie, he's full on dork mode.
The sky, it's a bird, it's a plane. No, it's a duck.
Phil, you've got to help us. What are we going to do?
Nice ducky. Me, Phil. You, Howard. We be friends.
Undoubtedly one of Earth's greatest minds here.
Oh!
And then the last half, he starts becoming like a regular person.
Yeah.
And then he goes back to dork mode in the last 5 minutes again?
Is it wrong that I think that he's adorable?
Okay.
He's adorkable.
I can see it. Yeah, I can kind of see it. I think he's a little obnoxious in the first half.
I mean, he is, but he's still adorkable.
Okay.
I like dorks.
I know you married one. So
I knew you were going to say
he
it.
Freaks out, and he's just saying the most absurd things, and it's really off-putting, but he's shocked to find out, and he wants to investigate him more. But the way he's talking to Howard makes Howard really pissed off, to the point where he fights with Leah Thompson outside in front of all these kids. They think that he's like some kind of mascot, and he's like, get out of here, and he growls at them. They run off, and he says, I don't need anybody. I don't need you. I don't need anybody's pity. So he goes off on his own, and like a person who's just beamed in from outer space, he goes to get a job at unemployment.
Oh my God, can we talk about his outfit that he's wearing?
Yeah, I don't understand that. Where does he keep getting these clothes?
I don't know, but he's wearing like this little like newsboy hat.
Yep.
And he's got these overalls that like my like 3-year-old nephew would wear. They're like corduroy overalls with like a little... like a little cartoon on the front, like it's a little cartoon bear or something.
I know. Front. I don't know what's happening here.
This guy, like this little jacket.
But I love that he goes to unemployment to get a job. He's not a citizen.
No.
He doesn't have a social security number. And well, he does have a wallet, because when Leah Thompson brought him home and he sat on the friend's windowsill and fell asleep to the rain, she, of course, not only stalker-ish stroked his hair and like pined over him, then she also went through his wallet, something you usually don't do with somebody you first meet. And then she goes through his wallet, and we get to see all the stuff in his wallet that explains his world is just the same exact thing, but little changes. So he has a couple bucks. Yep. It's we got George Washington, right, with a duck bill.
Oh, he has a couple of bills.
He has a couple of bills, and there's bills on them, and it's the United States of what?
Duck World, isn't it?
No, it was and something or other.
Jesus Christ, Scott.
And what?
So it's Anatote? Called Anatote or something.
We had to look this up. We're like, he's from Duck. The planet is called Duck World.
Yeah, so it actually translates to duck. So it's the United States of Duck.
Why does it translate? What was it? What's the language? Yeah, the United States of wherever the hell he's from, whatever country he's from. He's also got like a Master Duck card, and she's giggling the whole time. But she literally does pull out a loose used rubber, and she goes, "Oh,
is it used? It's rolled up.
You don't keep a friggin' open rubber.
Who knows what they do on Duck World? Come on, yeah.
It would dry out. It would be old. It would have holes in it.
That's true. It is a kids' movie, but
it's a kids' movie, and she pulls out a rubber and she giggles about. Oh, Howard.
Howard.
And well, afterwards, when he walks off, and he's like, you know, she acts like he broke her heart.
Yeah.
And then he goes off and gets his job, and he gets a job. Now, if we could not get more sexual in this film, he goes and works at a bathhouse. A sex house.
Well, there are a lot of those in the 80s.
Yeah, and he has to... I mean, there's like people having sex in the hallways.
Towels, lotions... antibiotics? Must be mating season.
Yeah.
Like they're running out naked, giggling, making out, and then going in the room to have sex.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to say, I, as a child, did not think anything of this. I was just like, what is this? Oh, they're at like a spa.
Yeah. How weird is our childhoods that we thought this was normal?
Oh my God. I mean, we would watch the craziest shit. I mean, come on.
It's just so there was mind blowing.
It was crazy back then.
Yeah. How our parents, I mean, I remember watching Roger Rabbit and being like, wow.
Yeah. They literally tortured toons.
It's not that this, the patty cake sequence.
Oh my God. Jessica Rabbit with them honkers bouncing about. Come on.
I remember my mom being like, what grading is this? What is this movie?
Yeah.
You know, I remember that.
By the way, that word we're looking for is Anatidae. Anatidae. And that is a biological family of water birds, ducks, geese, and swans.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what it says. So it says the United States of Anatidae.
So, yeah, he works in a bathhouse, and he is forced into... Now, he is all... This is another thing. He can't fly. He keeps flapping his arms. He can't fly. He also, now we learn, he can't swim. So he is chucked in by his new boss into a...
fucking duck that can't swim.
He can't swim. He can't fly. I don't understand what's happening here. But he is chucked into a hot tub while it's being used with two people going at it to unstuff the filter.
Ugh.
Which is, by the way, that's not... You would reach in. There's usually on the side of the thing. You could just open the filter. But he goes in and he pulls out from the jet a used pair of underwear. Yeah.
I'm sure he contracted gonorrhea too.
I'm like...
I mean, see, that's the thing. It's funny because when I was watching this as a kid, I literally thought nothing of this. And I think it's because we were so conditioned. I mean, we had movies like Legend, you know, with Tom Cruise. We had The Dark Crystal. We had all those creepy things to like...
Yeah, this isn't creepy. This is sexual.
That's true. But it's kind of like the same, you know, situation.
I've seen movies where there's a couple like sexual scenes and references and jokes when they were... it was a children's movie. There was like boobs or something. But this movie is every couple minutes there's sex jokes.
Yeah.
Because what happens next is he loses his job after he pushes his new boss into a mud vat. Like I don't know if it's supposed to be like a spa mud bath thing, but it looks like it was used poop. I don't like it. I didn't like it at all.
He pulls like a bra.
I said used poop.
Ew. I mean,
is it reused poop?
Ew.
Anyways.
Ew.
He gets fired. And of course, he goes to the bar and he finds her playing her song. And the song she's playing is about how a guy broke her heart. But it really hurts when you turn away. And I can take the look you give me. Believe me, 'cause I know you are in pain. And I can take the names you call me. And even she has to stop the song to say, this is too depressing, because she's singing about Howard, okay? And she's longing for Howard. Well, Howard overhears her manager. Well, we got to point this out. This guy is becoming an all-star on our talking trashes. He is the actor who is in Mario Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
He's also in the Ferris Bueller. He's also the guy who steals the car for a joyride. From Cameron and Ferris in that movie.
Yep.
He is one of the guys at this bar, and it's a manager, and he's pocketing money and he's not paying the band properly. And he's supposed to be their manager. Well, Howard has a fight with them all, and he forces this guy not only to give them the money that he owes them, but he also makes him break the contract with them, and he makes everybody in the bar hear it. So now he goes backstage to tell the girls, and this is where we meet the whole band. And when they see him, they go, oh my God, it's Howard. He is cute. I can see what she's talking about. And he fondles one of their tassels on their shirt. And the next one, he touches her ass. I'm like... And they're like, oh, wow. And he comes over to her and they kind of like make up. And Tim Robbins comes in there. And apparently Tim Robbins is dating one of the girls in the band. And he actually says to her, I can't have sex with you right now. I'm working. Now, Tim Robbins is portrayed as the nutty professor. He is not somebody who's in a relationship.
No, he's a dork. But like... I mean, you're right. And now that I'm thinking about all these situations, like, I was never thinking about this, but like when I watch this now, I was very uncomfortable. I'm like, oh my God, these are things you just don't think about as a kid. You just don't.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, oh my God, he's a pervert. Well,
like when you thought back, because when I was thinking about this movie before watching it again, I only remembered certain things. I definitely remember feeling creeped out, and I remember thinking, I'm attracted to Leah Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think she's very beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember there's the scene that is sexual in nature with them too. I remember her very vividly when I was a kid. I remember her being in her underwear.
Yeah.
And I know that sucks, but I remember that. But I also remember Jeffrey Jones, and this sucks to say, but I was really a fan of Jeffrey Jones growing up. I thought Jeffrey Jones was funny as all hell in every movie he was in.
We all were.
I've seen every one of his films, and it just pains me to not be able to watch all those great movies that mm-hmm. I love the same way. Because I remember a thing I remember about this movie was Jeffrey Jones going, just acting his ass off for no reason in a terrible movie. And I remember him throwing a monster up, but that's not what happens. I must have been merging this and Poltergeist 2.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a sequence where I know I'm getting confused because he has a tongue monster. But I remember that. I don't remember any of the other stuff. I don't remember the sex. I remember that Tim Robbins was in this film, but I didn't remember anything about him. And I did not remember all of these. I don't even remember Leah Thompson's band until the end. Oh, I don't remember any of this.
Oh, when she's singing the Howard the Duck song?
I remember that. I remember that being very bad. But
I mean, it's a little jammy. I like it.
It is what it is. But I don't remember. So I guess what you're saying is true. I also have to agree because I don't remember I do remember the sex stuff. I do remember her in bed with him very much.
Yeah.
But I don't remember I forgot he got a job at a bathhouse. That I totally forgot until this viewing. I was like, oh my God, this is worse than I remember.
See, the movie plays like it's supposed to be catered to kids, but it's just really not. Because instead of giving him, like, you know, a potty mouth, they put all these other elements in there that are, like, overly sexualized, and they make him, like, a little pervert and stuff. But I feel like they could have taken that out and just given him, like, a little bit more of a potty mouth. Like, he had a more rugged demeanor. Because in this, he was cute. He was lovable. Like, he didn't seem like a little, you know, piece of shit. He helped her. He was just cute. And I feel like they should have gone the other way and just made him a little rougher, like Raphael from the, you know.
Well, that's how he is in the comics. He's like a drinking, smoking, you know, asshole.
Right. So I feel like
he is with a human woman in the comics too.
So gross.
In a relationship. Yes. This is the thing.
Okay. So then why didn't they just go that route? I mean,
because they made them change everything. I told you, like, the guy wanted Ghostbusters.
I get it. But, like, now it's just creepy when you think about it.
Oh,
it's just creep factor 11.
I mean, I guess the same thing happens with Ghostbusters. A lot of questions. While you grow up, you start asking the questions that a lot of people have pointed out recently, like, why did
Bill Murray have a sedative when he went to Sigourney Weaver's house?
He brought a high sedative through her house that night. That's odd.
That's a little date rapey.
Yeah, that's weird. And he is extremely rapey.
He's a worm. Yeah. He's just, yeah.
And there is the famous blowjob from a ghost sequence that is very odd because it's cut and it doesn't really make sense, but they left some of it in there.
They gave us just enough that we know what's going on.
It's weird. And it's in another movie that isn't rated, you know, in any way that's suggestive or whatever. And I remember that movie being scary as a kid. I was scared by some of that stuff.
Yeah. It's like the Never Ending Story. Never Ending Story, we were scared by that too.
Yeah.
But still not over Artex, just saying.
And another movie I'm scared of is Howard the Duck. So let's go keep trying to talk about Howard the Duck.
You just want to get through it because you hate it.
I do, and it's we're chatting for a bit here.
Sorry. Okay, on point. Let's go.
So when they get back to, he brings the money to them, and he like kind of suggests that now they don't have a manager, they can play on their own, they can do their own gigs. They're not constrained to this guy, and they're all congratulating Howard, and it's odd. And she takes him back home, and that's when the next scene we see is him in his little duck robe, and he's jamming out on her keyboard, and he's making a whole song, and she comes out of the bathroom in a robe, but just underwear.
Mm-hmm. And like a little silk top. Tank top thingy.
Which, she comes in the room, And then she gets on the bed on all fours after dropping her robe. And this is a kid's film. And he's starting to go, well, I'm starting to get into the human body. Yeah. And then he's like trying, like getting, oh man, you really should try. And she's like, I'm having a problem. And she does that thing where she's pretending to be cold, but she turns her back and she goes, well, I have to find a good man, which is like, hint, hint, hint. We're in bed together. And he's like, well, have you ever thought about outside of your species? And she's like, oh, like a duck.
Right. Ew, and then you're being creepy.
I'm just going to put the audio in here. Everybody can make up for themselves what this is creepy or not.
I have developed a greater appreciation for the female version of the human anatomy.
Oh, Howard, you really are the worst. Come on, let's watch David Letterman. Come on.
Okie dokie.
You know, I got a feeling my life's really going to change since you fell into a ducky.
Yeah, well, I'm glad somebody's happy.
If I could just get my career back on course, I'd only have the old standard worry left.
What's that?
Just can't seem to find the right man.
Maybe it's not a man you should be looking for.
You think I might find happiness in the animal kingdom, Ducky?
Like they say, Dal, love's strange. We could always give it a try.
Okay. Let's go for it, Mr. Macho.
But that's when Howard starts all of a sudden changing. Ooh, I was only kidding.
What do you mean? Okay. It was a joke. Mm-hmm. Listen, I'm pretty tired.
It's just that you're so incredibly soft and cuddly.
Bev, let's be realistic. I mean, my apartment's zillions of miles from here. You're 3 feet taller than I am.
I just can't resist your intense animal magnetism.
Whoops. Anyway, where will it all lead? Marriage? Kids? A house in the suburbs?
Let's just face it. It's fate.
No, it's not. I've got a headache.
And I got the aspirin.
And she turns off the lights and she gets on top of him. And she goes, oh, I'm just kidding. Just a little kiss. And she gives him a kiss. And we see it in the shadow. He puts his arms up, stretching like, oh, yeah. And she gives him his second kiss.
Just one good night kiss, sweet ducky. Come on, Howard, I was just kidding. Night.
And before Moore can go on, she doesn't move from the top of him. People enter her house.
Yes, but can we talk about how his feathers on his hair go up like he's getting a hard-on?
That's a thing, by the way, with ducks, yeah.
That's happening.
Yes, it is
movie.
Happening. And they have corkscrew penises, too. Ew. So, anyway.
God damn you. How do you know that? Everybody knows that. Okay, I didn't know that. Thank you.
It's gross.
Gross.
But yeah, three people enter her room, her house, without even knocking. They just barge in, and it's Tim Robbins, and he has brought two other scientists, one being Jeffrey Jones, and they all come in, and they see in the shadow her kissing him, and her being, like, sexual with him.
Yeah, and that's when they're like, what?
Ooh, yeah, and she's like, oh, no, we're just kidding. Yeah. No, okay, no. They talk him into the understanding is they did a science experiment, and in the lab they use this, I don't know what the hell it is, but it opened up a time portal type thing, and it sucked him from his universe. Why him? How? Doesn't know. Doesn't matter.
Right in his living room, not his planet, yeah. Just his living room.
And it's like, oh, you're gonna come to this place. We can make history a second time by sending you back. So he's like, great. So we're gonna go there tomorrow. We're gonna do this whole thing. So when they show up at the lab, there is chaos. Nobody is at the gate. Nobody's doing anything. When they go in there, when they finally enter the place, they open up a door, and a guy runs out with a burnt face. And I wrote this down.
There was an explosion.
He runs out, and it's like hell's going on. And he runs on, and he goes, oh, we had no idea. We had no right tampering with the universe. And he just walks away calmly.
He had a little bit of rouge on the side of his face, like he got burned, but yeah. He's okay.
Yeah, well, first he falls to the floor like, oh, jeez. And he just gets up and walks out. That was his big scene. And we go in the room, and we see another all-star. This guy's in everything.
Isn't he the one that, hello, how
yeah.
are you?
Yeah, the guy yeah. from Crazy People. Yeah, Crazy People. He's in so many movies. He's also Night of the Creeps.
Oh, yeah, that's my guy, Night of the Creeps.
Yeah, he's in so many movies. He shows up just to have a scene about how they did the experiment again, but this time it didn't work properly. It kind of backfired, but they're thinking, well, what did we bring back? Because the first time we brought something here, did we do it again? And everybody's like, it's complete chaos. And they don't know where Jeffrey Jones, who is like the head doctor or the head scientist or whatever the hell it is. They don't know where he is, but he shows up and this is what we're talking about. He's overacting. Something has happened to him during the experiment. And he is saying that he has something in his brain, but he keeps going and giving them information. I know it's supposed to be funny, but it is very odd to in like a, 100 degrees. Like, it's like he just keeps going, I have something in my brain. Anyways, go over there and get that. They're like, oh, where's the car? It's in the parking lot right over there. My head. But so it turns out that, yes, what they brought in is some kind of creature that has possessed his body.
The dark.
And he's fighting
overlord,
it.
Overlord, Scotty. Yeah,
the dark overlord, which was the Thog, or whatever the hell it is I told you about in the comic book. Yeah, he is in Jeffrey Jones' body, and he's fighting him. They get in a car to go drive, and they let him drive, the guy who's fighting a monster inside of his body.
Now, here's a question. Where were they going? Were they trying to get to the lab?
To the lab? Somewhere else to find, I don't know, but they're driving like the family truckster.
Yeah.
It is so, the effects here are so bad. You can see like a dummy just sitting in the seats.
Yeah, well, it gets worse when they get to the sushi cafe.
Yeah, they go for food and they go for a sushi Cajun restaurant, apparently.
What is going
on?
And
it's like shaped like a diner and there's sushi being done, but everybody's dressed like a normal diner.
It looks like okay, so they're dressed in like those black, those red and white checkerboard like picnic kind of tablecloths.
Yes.
That's what their dresses look like, the waitresses, right?
It looks like Flo and everybody from whatever that show was.
Yes, but then they have a freaking headband around their head like Mr. Miyagi gave to Daniel.
Yes, the sushi chef, apparently.
I'm like, what is going on in this restaurant?
Well, what I love about this restaurant is, who is going to this restaurant?
Well, it seems
a
like
bunch of a lot Duck of, Dynasty characters?
Yeah, it looks like a bunch of rednecks.
But who then, go like, for the Cajun see, like, sushi?
Yeah, rednecks aren't going for Cajun sushi.
Yeah. And of course, they just walk up to a table and randomly harass the person at the table who could be in a costume.
Right. So, yeah. Leave it to, what's his name in Dumb and Dumber? Is Seabass?
Yeah. Oh,
leave
so
it
much.
To Seabass and his two goons.
That's exactly
what this
is. Come
over and start harassing Leah Thompson and Howard and the doctor, right? Yeah. Jeffrey Jones. And they're just harassing them for no reason. Just for no reason.
Can we do an impersonation of what Jeffrey Jones is now talking like now that the monster has beat him?
Please do it.
He's like this. Like, I don't know. Am I close?
No.
I want to.
Yes. Sounds more like a mix between Skeletor and like.
And he's. I don't know how Jeffrey Jones is doing it because it sounds like it hurts his voice bad.
Yeah, but he's doing it. You can tell.
Yeah.
That's him. But it sounds literally like a Scooby Doo villain. Yes. Yeah. It's a Scooby-Doo villain and, like, Skeletor. That's
and he's doing a, like, he's holding back a turd.
I'm dead.
Yes, you are.
You think that's funny, Jenning?
I'm not Jenning anymore. The transformation is complete. I am now someone else.
is what his motivation of acting is.
You know what it kind of reminded me of in Men in Black? Remember with
Vincent
D'Onofrio?
D'Onofrio is incredible in Men in Black. It's probably the best thing about that movie for me. He is so funny in that movie, doing all that skin makeup stuff. All the
acting, pulling back its head and all that. Pretending
like he's falling apart. It's amazing. Yeah. I absolutely love that. But yeah, here it is just wild. And of course, a fight breaks out and they're going to literally chop up and eat a talking duck person. And the sushi chef comes out and gets he's sharpening his axe. He just keeps calling for Leah Thompson, who is like, that's my boyfriend.
Yeah.
And everybody goes, ew. And she's like, why are you guys coming after me? Like,
he probably I can love really who I love. Good with some like wasabi or soy sauce.
Yeah. Every time they go to kill him, he can sit back up and just randomly go, help.
I know. He does it like 5 times. I was like, oh my God, he's not even tied down. Like, what happened to, didn't they call him, he knows Quack Fu.
Oh, right? Yeah,
that's when he was fighting people in the alley and like, he knows Quack Fu. So all of a sudden he doesn't know how to fight anymore.
Yeah.
Like, he
fights a little bit. And then it doesn't work out because there's so many people taking him down. And everybody wants to eat him. Everybody in this diner wants to eat him.
He is a duck.
And the waitress loves his outfit. But she's like, maybe it's not because Halloween's not. She actually has a whole speech about it.
Yeah, because she keeps thinking that it's Leah Thompson's kid in like a costume, which I think is really cute. Because, that at least that's something you can understand.
Yeah.
But then she's like, oh, it's not even close to Halloween yet. But I have a question. Why and how did the Dark Overlord get inside Jeffrey Jones? Was it because of that particle explosion?
Yeah, I think he was the one looking into it. Or because if you look at his face, he's got a burn around what look like goggle marks.
Yes, but the other guy also had a burnt face. So how come it didn't go into him?
Well, I think that was an explosion more than anything else. I think what Jeffrey Jones must have been the closest. It doesn't really matter. He's just possessed, Joe.
I need an answer.
And he's possessed. He's fully possessed. And he stops Howard from being killed by controlling things with his mind and throwing them all around. And the way that they show this is that they just draw like a light around them.
Yep.
Like a neon light. And then he decides to kidnap Leah Thompson's character because he says he needs a body. A host? Because his host might give up?
No. He said he needs a body, like a host body, for the other Dark Overlord that's going to come through the portal.
Yes. So his mission is to go back to this place that he already had just come from so he can open up a portal. I think that's what Jeffrey Jones was doing when he was battling it. I think he was trying to get away from the device because he knew that he would use it. So he says that he's going to open up another portal. And how he knows to specifically open it in a certain spot is beyond me. Because what we've seen is every time they touch it, they just rip open another dimension, which was Howard's and then these monsters.
Yeah.
And now this guy's like, now I can just rip open the same one and bring all my buddies in. Right? And that's his plan. And on the way, it's a road trip. And this is baffling, too. Do they go to a different science place? Because they seem to go way out of their way on the road trip back.
I have no idea. Now, I know that Jeffrey Jones does take Leah Thompson. So that leaves Howard. I don't know. How does he get Tim Robbins to get in that stupid airplane with him? Like, where does Tim Robbins even come
Tim
from?
Tim Robbins gets arrested. The cops now show up at the diner that he just went ballistic in, and this guy ripped it up with his mind. And they go there, and they're investigating it, and this one detective shows up, and he goes, I want that duck alive or dead. I don't care.
I want that duck dead or alive.
And they have Tim Robbins handcuffed in the back of the car because they know he's a part of whatever happened, and Howard is pretending to be a part of a nativity scene.
It's not a nativity scene. It's a freaking playground with little chicken statues and shit.
Whatever. I saw a nativity scene. I thought it was funny. My version was better, I guess.
That means it would be around Christmas time. And no, it's not because it's not even Halloween time yet. Remember? The waitress thought Howard was in a costume. It's get your life together, man.
Who cares? Him and Tim Robbins. He helps him break out. They steal a car. They go on a huge trip to find where they're going, and on the way, Jeffrey Jones is eating power.
So he has to stop at a nuclear reactor.
Yeah, but his tongue also comes out and sticks itself. She thinks it's going to like get her, but it sticks itself into the lighter socket in the truck they're in.
Yeah, he needs a power source. He's literally deteriorating. Now, this is, maybe you're right. Maybe he does need Leah Thompson's body to transfer over because he's rotting. He's completely rotting. So you're right. He might need Leah Thompson.
Yeah, because every time he absorbs power, he mutates.
Yeah.
So they go to this power plant, and of course they get visitor badges and the whole thing. I don't know how. But he goes in and he literally rips open a power plant, and I would say causes a Chernobyl-type meltdown. But no, he just absorbs all the energy and is a walking reactor.
Mm-hmm.
And he morphs. His spine starts sticking out of his back, and he grows white hair, and he starts looking like Dr. Wily from Mega Man, right? And he's, like, full on, I guess. So they now go to the plant, and on the same time, Howard and Tim Robbins' character, they're on such a run that they go to, an airfield, and they find a little tiny, like, two-passenger little, like, fake plane type thing.
It looks like a paraglider.
Yeah.
It's so stupid.
With an engine on it.
Like, of all the things to take, why don't you just steal a car? What is this? So now this bumbling idiot, you know, chase ensues with the police and them in this ridiculous, like, flying little go-kart. And it goes on way too long.
Oh, it goes on and on. Way too long. It doesn't even look right. It looks like they're really doing it, which is cool. But you can tell that they're being, like, hung from, like, a rope.
Yeah. It's just not cute. It's not funny. It's annoying. It's like, okay, this is ridiculous. There are elements of this movie that are so kiddie that you're just like, okay. But then there's elements of this movie that are, like, really just squirmy.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be, like, okay.
True. Because
you're just not okay. This movie's crazy. So they end up back at the lab. And
so mad at us.
What happened? What are you mad at us for?
I just so mad that we keep forgetting about so many funny moments that I wrote down. Can I just read two real quick?
Yeah.
When a bunch of punk rock gangsters see Howard for the first time, he says, "I've done too much toot."
I've been doing too much toot.
Another one says, and then Howard tells them that he has space rabies.
Yes.
And they go, "Is that a thing?" And the one guy goes, "I think I saw about that on the news." and then when Jeffrey Jones takes Leah Thompson from Howard, they think he runs him over with a truck, but he like just gets between the wheels on the bottom and he survives. But then Howard, who's not been hurt, says, "Beverly, I'll find you," and just falls to sleep or something like that on the floor.
"Beverly, I'll find you."
Oh, there's more moments than that.
Those are the ones I wrote. Ridiculous. Those are the ones I wrote down. I was like, okay, these are the only ones I want to mention, because it literally just all culminates into this one fight,
mm-hmm.
which is boring and stupid. It really just is the Austin Powers moment where Austin is stuck in a golf cart trying to back up, and that's it. It literally is that Jeffrey Jones's character, he actually get the monster ripped out of him. But the problem is the monster is now a giant Rancor-esque monster. And they got legendary Phil Tippett to do the puppet work. This is a actual puppet motion capture. And they put into the movie. You said CG. No, someone made this.
No.
They made this monster and they filmed the whole thing. And it is practical effects.
Wow, I feel bad for saying it's terrible special effects. Because it's actually not when you think about it.
It's not. It's like Willow and all these things. Someone did the effects. If Phil Tippett, if people don't know, did the stop motion on RoboCop, Starship Troopers, and Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because he's like in the credits. A lot of people laugh about it, but it actually says dinosaur supervisor in the credits because they ended up going with CG because it kept improving.
Mm-hmm.
But he is the stop motion guy. He's the guy known for it. So he did this entire thing. You can actually see it online where him doing the whole physical thing and filming it.
That's cool.
And it's neat, but unfortunately, seeing it now, you can see the color grade is off. It looks fake in the scene. It doesn't really match up. When you think about the work that went into it, you get a little impressed. Mm-hmm. But when you watch it in the scene, you're just kind of like, oh, God. Like, this is boring. It sucks. It really does, because it does look cool if you think about it as someone practically making some effects. It's impressive.
As a kid, but I was like, oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, I don't even remember it. That's the funniest thing. I don't remember. And I don't remember this battle scene because nothing really happens. It's just them being silly. Tim Robbins keeps passing out. You know, Leah Thompson just screams a lot. Help me, help me, help me. Jeffrey Jones is like, hey, stop the monster. I'm going to just lay here on the floor. Just, I'm not going to do anything during the sequence.
What's amazing to me is when the monster, he was no longer the monster. The overlord or whatever, he went back to looking normal again.
Yeah, he just got fine.
I'm like, your bones popped out of your back.
Yeah, bro. He had burns. He had burns from, he's just gotten normal.
His hair was falling out in patches and he had boils all over his face. Oh, he's fine.
He's fine. It like healed him to have it okay. taken out of him. It's so strange. But yeah, it just really comes down to Howard driving a friggin' golf cart with what looks like a machine gun, but it's some kind of laser weapon.
It's the thing from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yeah, there you go. And then he stops it. And they stop the portal before the monsters can come in. We actually see them all crawling in through the portal.
Yes, but you know what that means? It means that Howard won't be able to go back home. So he's stuck on Earth.
He's stuck on Earth. But it's okay. He actually sacrifices his way home to stop the Earth from being invaded by these creatures.
Yes. And then he becomes Leah Thompson's manager of her band, Cherry Naturally. Bomb.
Naturally.
And he's successful. And the band sings the Howard the Duck song at the end.
And he gets shot on stage by accident. And they put a little guitar on him. And he jams out like Marty McFly. And they have a whole dance scene. And they go off during the credits. And she's like, oh, Ducky.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that they were having unnatural sex at that point in the movie.
They're together. There's no doubt in my mind.
I mean, now that I am this old and I see this movie, it's just no damn good. I mean, as a kid, I was not thinking of these things. But I am now, like, oh my God, what the fuck? Like, this is not natural. This is awful. It's like, not to go back to it, but when we were watching the Garbage Pail Kids movie and how squirmy it was watching Tangerine, who was 24 years old at the time of filming, flirt with Mackenzie Astin.
Oh, it's insane.
Oh my God, he was like 11 years old.
I only thing I could keep asking you during the movie was, how old is she?
I think she's like 24 years old.
Because it didn't feel like it. She felt young. She felt like she was in high school with him. And I kept going, there's some weird stuff here. Like, she's got a leg spread open. It's weird. Yeah. I was like, this is odd and off-putting. Let's not talk about Garbage Pail Kids movie.
Okay.
We're here to talk about Howard the Duck.
Okay.
Now, I have to point out some things now that we just told the plot of this movie. And, you know, I had brought up into, if you heard me in the opening here, one of the crazy things that are going on around the line, and there's a lot of weird reports. There's a lot of he said, she said stuff. So it's really hard to understand, like, maybe what is reality. But the thing that I found multiple sources saying is that Lucas, he actually wanted to walk away from making movies because, like, his marriage fell apart. And while making Star Wars. And so he wanted to walk away from it and just be a producer. So he kind of like sold stuff off, and that's why he didn't do like Empire and Return. He wanted to get away from it. So he was like helping his friends out. And they didn't get any credit as writing dialogue on New Hope. So I think it was like, I'll help you make this movie. And I think that's why he got invested as being a producer and then executive producer. And his name got put all over it and the merch. And I mean, like, everything. So he was like forced into being like a head of this movie, although he really at the time didn't want to, but he did it for his friend. But what had happened, I guess, was that he had just built Lucas Ranch, the Skywalker Ranch,
yeah,
which cost like $50 million.
Okay, that's absurd.
And he was in the black, and he hoped that this movie was going to remove him from being in the black.
Oh my God.
And it didn't. There's
your problem right there.
I know, it bombed. So Steve Jobs, who was his friend, offered to buy the CGI division of Lucasfilm to help him out. And he said he would give him way over asking price to help him get out of debt.
Oh my God.
Right? So Lucas offered, said, okay. That studio became Pixar.
Oh my God.
So all the people at Pixar that made all those brilliant movies were at that studio.
Holy shit.
What a, I don't know.
Wow. Okay.
Another fun fact. Trivia. Yeah, another fun fact is that the test screenings, they didn't want to really have any test screenings, and they were trying to keep this away from press. And they did have a press screening, and they said all the things that came back, all the cards that came back from the, not a press screening, but a test screening,
mm-hmm.
and all the cards that came back were positive. And the reason was, is because the co-writer ripped up all the bad ones.
Damn.
Yeah. And then apparently when the movie did premiere, the two executives of Universal Studios at the time got in a fist fight over who allowed this movie to be made.
Wow.
That's what they say.
And they went to blows over this?
And apparently one of them, who was the guy who wanted this to be like Ghostbusters, he stepped down.
Oh, shit.
Like, he retired. This movie was a crazy, crazy mess. There are so many quotes, so many interviews, so many comments, so many weird statements and facts, and everybody, even the creator of the comic book, talking about it. So, and it's really funny because this didn't help Marvel make more movies. It wasn't a success. I mean, think about it. After this, the only Marvel movies that were made until Blade were like, there was a Captain America movie. We still haven't watched it.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a Roger Corman-produced Fantastic Four movie, which we have seen on this, we did on the show,
mm-hmm.
that got scrapped. They weren't really intending it ever to be released. And that's like it. There wasn't any other movies until Blade came and saved Marvel from complete bankruptcy. This is like the fact that it took Howard the Duck to be the first Marvel movie, like help the spiral, the downward spiral of Marvel Comics. And then him appearing after all these years again, after all the fights to get this movie made, all the problems that happened, he just shows up as a cameo in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh,
how
God.
Crazy is that?
Yeah, I mean, I know that this movie has reached like cult status.
Yeah, that's the thing.
It's very hard to watch now. It really is. Like, as a kid, it was just much easier, but now there's too much to think about.
You hear like people say, which another movie we've done on the show, Turkey Fest, in fact, Plan 9 from Outer Space. You know, you hear so many things about it. Worst movie ever made, worst director ever made, right? Ever that has ever been. And then I can watch it 1,000 times.
Yep.
Because there's something so fun and quaint and genuine about it. Like someone who he thought he was making a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, it's kind of endearing. This movie, you can just, every ounce of it, if you watch people's faces, you watch the acting, you watch the special effects, you see this thing unraveling.
Yeah.
You can just feel this movie falling apart. And you can feel that people were probably like, this is a disaster. In every moment.
I mean, yeah, it was a hot mess. I mean, also, let me just say, for the record, Ed Wood is not the worst filmmaker that's
ever born.
Absolutely not. No way. And I can't stand when people say that because he's not.
That's why I brought it up.
But anyway, yeah. All right. So what do you got?
Well, my question is to you, I guess. Do you really think that this is so bad it's good? Like, this is your turkey movie. This is the movie that, like, oh, I loved it when I was a kid. Or do you now just agree it is bad?
No, I now agree that this movie is absolutely dreadful. It's a dreadful movie.
Okay. When we did Turkey Festival, I think the first time, I picked an oddball, which was Maximum Overdrive. And you said, do you really like this movie? And I was like, I don't like it as much as I remember it, mm-hmm. but I still find it a little bit of a lot of, like, there's fun in here. Mm-hmm. Now, do you think that was better than this movie?
Maximum Overdrive was better than this movie, okay. Yes.
So my question, do you see, like, why I wanted to talk about that movie? Because it is silly fun.
Oh, 100%. It was very entertaining without that whole skeeve factor that this one had. This one had a skeeve factor. I didn't like it. As an adult, I can't watch that shit, you know?
Yeah.
As a kid, you're not thinking about it. But as an adult, no.
Because I think all the turkey movies we've done, we generally really enjoy them.
Mm-hmm.
But we were very questioning of Maximum Overdrive. And now this one. So I'm glad to hear you say you finally understand, like, this is bad.
I mean, yeah, if you wanted to go ahead and put this up for sale online for $1.05.
You gotta have it just to keep it as, like...
Oh, no, we're going to keep it. But I'm just saying, like, it's trash. It's a trash heap film. It is.
What do you give it out of 10?
Well, when I first reviewed this film, I gave it a 4. Because I thought it was so bad. It's good. Now, I am at a 2. This movie is dreadful.
I feel like 3. No. It is bad. I'm going to give it a 3. Mm-mm. It is, I also had it at a 4 for a while, but I don't remember ever really enjoying this film.
No, I did not enjoy it. I was laughing because I saw your face and I was like, oh, fuck, I'm in for it because he's not having a good time.
This time in particular was like, oh, yeah, this is just as bad as I recall.
But I mean, you're such a good sport for humoring me and watching this again, but this is a 2. I mean, it's a disaster.
Well, I had more fun researching the insanity because I always assumed that this was a George Lucas cocaine nightmare of a film. I always assumed that he did a lot of blow and was like, yeah, this is gonna be the best thing ever. But to see that he was really behind the scenes just trying to help out friends is kind of cool. But to seeing that he basically kind of did it because he truly never gave the people credit who wrote the best things about New Hope.
Yeah.
And that's something I've always talked about.
He's always such a smart ass. Like, he was just so stuck on himself.
Well, that was the thing back then. These guys, this group of friends, all really lucked into their careers. Like, everything worked out. Spielberg, these are a huge group of friends. Spielberg, Lucas, Coppola. But they all kind of like just made hit that was so big that I think that Spielberg is the only one that's like truly kept really making movies. I think De Palma was another one.
Mm-hmm.
He just kept making hits. He's always been really relevant with
very that. Consistent.
Whereas the rest of them kind of took times off or after a while got like De Palma has kind of got a little out of it. Coppola took a lot of time off. And Lucas, I would say he's always been that guy that I know people just like adore. But where I always thought his genius lay was in the idea that he was smart enough to know the toys will make me more money than the movie itself.
Oh my God.
And he took all of the toy money and was able to make a huge business.
I mean,
but if it wasn't for all of his friends, you can see, and the more I read, the more I see, oh, all these friends helped him. I've always thought this, but the more I read more, I go, man.
Yeah, he did have a lot of help. And you know what, though?
He had so much help.
He was really smart with the marketing. I mean, he's been making money off these toys and merchandising since 1977.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot.
We'll talk about him more in December.
Okay.
But, yes. But yeah, I always assumed that this was some kind of like just crazy thing. I never understood why this character was the one they were so obsessed with making. Why it became such a thing that they pushed. Of all the Marvel characters, why this one? Why not Spider-Man? I never understood it. But like reading into the background and them hoping they could make the comedy, that edgy comedy, I can see why they would want to and why they wanted this to be an animated film and they were forced into making it live action.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that animated film and seeing Rick Baker's attempts at making this thing, if they were going to do it like a puppeteer type thing, it looked cool. It looked just like the comic book, and that would have been something really interesting. And they had Jim Belushi.
Editor's note, John Belushi. Don't know why I keep saying Jim.
Gave it $8 million at the time. He had made the practical effect, and Jim Belushi was hired to be the voice.
Oh, wow.
They were on to something. But it the fact that it became this monstrosity is mind-blowing.
It's terrible.
Yeah. It's such a more interesting story than it is a movie.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I never really read the comics, but it's intriguing.
Well, I mean the story of the production, the story of the movie is more interesting.
The story of the movie is more interesting than the movie itself. Yes, I get what you're saying. But so you give it a 3, I have a 2. That brings us to our segment of Why We Can't Have Nice Things, where I read out 2 extremes of internet reviews, a 1-star and a 10-star review, as proof that people ruin the rating system, and prove that no matter what, there's always going to be someone who messes it up for the rest of us. And these 2 reviews are just that. I'm going to start with the 1-star review this time. Hateful. Disgusting. I had the unfortunate experience to watch it as a child. I found extremely repulsive and humiliating to see a woman going to bed with this gross duck. And I think I remember there was even a hard-on scene or something. Really, I happen to hold the same view, and I find it disgusting and sexist to show a woman having sex with a beast. I pity the whole crew involved, including the main actress, and I find it disappointing that Tim Robbins was actually in this movie. I know that stupidity and all sorts of repugnant things will always be in the art and in the movies, but still, I am free to say I hate this movie with all my heart. Burn in hell, stupid makers of this film.
Jeez.
Well, first of all, we are to clarify they don't actually have sex. Okay, it's not a thing we see. But anyways, whatever. Yes, it's repugnant. All right, 10 out of 10. Shut up. This is the greatest movie George Lucas ever put his name on. Star Wars fans can kiss my ass. The only thing that would have made this movie any better is if it had been just as crass as the comic book. The new version of the comic book is cool too. If some Hollywood hotshot director wants to prove to me how hip he is, then just remake Howard the Duck. When is the Howard the Duck Criterion DVD coming out? I want more Howard the Duck.
Okay, well, that's a joke. That one is a full joke.
I like it.
I do too. It's a full joke. That's exactly the cult fan knowing exactly what's wrong, but yeah, they're trying to double down on those people who are giving it ones.
Mm-hmm.
Totally understandable.
Yes.
The one though. Yeah. I don't know why. Like, it does feel like it's not a sex scene. Like you're saying, they don't have sex in the movie, but it is very
suggestive.
It is very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. It is. I don't ever need to watch Howard the Duck again. Thank you for sitting through it with me.
Yep.
But I'm good on Howard. I'm good. I'm out. Things don't hold up as an adult that you once liked as a child. They don't all the time. And no. This is definitely one of those situations where I don't know what I was thinking. I was a naive child and I didn't think anything of it. But now I do. And it's gross.
What I love about it was when you picked it, I was like, are you sure?
Yeah, man. You know, it was also an experiment for myself.
Was it?
You know? Yeah.
You use this to see, do I like this thing?
Yes.
What a
trip. I needed to know. I needed to revisit something from my childhood and see if it holds up. And nope. Mm-mm. That's all I've got. I'm done. Done with Howard.
I pointed out at that YouTuber, definitely check his YouTube channel out and see the history of this thing. It is incredible. The amount of detail this guy went into is fantastic. But otherwise, yeah, this is a stinky-ass bomb. I don't know what the hell anybody will. I really don't know why people would watch this for fun. But that being said, this is Turkey Fest, and this is Talking Trash, and we at least talk trash. So, yeah, thanks for listening, guys. As always, hit us up on Instagram at the Crafty Messenger Joe, and me at the Just Another Movie Night. And as always, I'd love to hear your opinion. If you do love this movie, I'd love to know. Thanks for listening. Have a good one. Bye.
All right. Now it's my turn.
Hey, come on. Don't take your best shot.
You got it. Tell your goons to stay back. I'm warning
you. Stay back, Richie.
I bite your face. You're a dead man, Ginger.
What are you talking about?
Space rabies.
Richie, is that a real disease?
I don't know, Ginger. I heard something about that on the news.
That's right. Space rabies. One bite, and it's agonizing death in 15 seconds. Bite, bite.